Time I would like for you to turn your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah. We want to look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Some people say Nehemiah, some say Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Nehemiah is found between the book of Ezra and the book of Esther. If you get to Ezra first, take a right. If you get to Esther first, take a left. It's right there. I want to talk from the subject this morning. I cannot come down, and I won't come down. I cannot come down, and I won't come down. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for a king named Artaxerxes. A cupbearer is a person who tastes the king's food or drink before he does to see if his food or drink isn't poisoned. If the cupbearer doesn't fall over and dies, well, then the king knows that his food or drink is okay. Hananiah came to Nehemiah with a couple of his friends and gave Nehemiah some bad news. The news was the wall of Jerusalem had not been rebuilt. Ever since Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it 70 years earlier. Jerusalem had always been a walled city, like all the other cities. If a city doesn't have a wall around it, then it would be easy prey for the intruders to come in and overthrow the government and do some despicable things to its citizens. When Nehemiah received that bad news that the wall had not been rebuilt, Nehemiah wept for many days. He fasted. He prayed. He even confessed and repented for his sin and the sin of his countrymen. One day Nehemiah was serving the drinks to his king, and the king noticed a sad look on his face. And he said, "Why are you looking so sad? I know you're not sick." Nehemiah told the king about his situation. Long story short, the king gave Nehemiah a leave of absence to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. And he gave Nehemiah a set time to come back to resume his job as cupbearer. We see in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 11, Nehemiah is in Jerusalem. And he stayed in Jerusalem 3 days, observing the debris. Nehemiah 2:17 and 18, Nehemiah meets with the men. And he tells the men that God put on his heart to build a wall. And then he said, "Let us rise and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem." As soon as Nehemiah and his men began to build a wall, Sanballat heard about it, and he was furious and angry. He came to what Nehemiah and them were and began to ridicule them, mock them. This goes to show us, my brothers and sisters, every time you try to take a stand for God, every time you try to do something good for the Lord's church, Satan always raises his ugly head. Brother Fox talked about that 2 Sundays ago. Said the devil is not your friend. He's your adversary. He's our enemy. The same devil that is after you is the same devil that is after me. Jesus called him a thief in John 10:10. He said that The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can distract you, if he can make you want to quit, see, that's his strategy. But remember now, if one of Satan's strategies doesn't work, he always uses another one. We come to chapter 6 in the book of Nehemiah. When Sanballat had found out that Nehemiah had built a wall around Jerusalem, there were no gaps. He hadn't yet put up the fence and the gates. Sanballat sent a message in verse 2 to Nehemiah. Said, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. Nehemiah saw right through that diabolical scheme. In Psalm 37, in verse 12, said a wicked plot against the just, and he gnashed his teeth at him. In Psalm 37, in verse 32, said the wicked washes the righteous and seeks to slay him. You see, Nehemiah told Sanballat, said, I cannot come down. I am doing a great work. Why should I leave the work and come down to you? See, Satan doesn't stop. He just keep on pressing you. What happened is Sanballat sent three more messages to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah said the same thing on four of those messages. I cannot come down. You see, we have to learn how to say no. In Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Say no. God told Moses, no, you cannot go into the promised land. God told Paul, no, you cannot. This thorn in the flesh. When God said no, he means no. Now I want to talk about two things this morning, and the lesson is going to be yours. Two things why we as Christians should not come down. Why we as Christians, God's people, we should not come down. The first reason why we should not come down is because we don't know how long we're going to have on this earth. We don't know how long we're going to live. Life is short. Some people don't realize how much time they have. They always just utilize a lot of time. They waste a lot of time. In Ephesians 5:16 said, redeem the time. For the days are evil. You got to take time very cautiously. It's precious. James 4:14 said, life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. See, you can be here today, and you can be gone today. Not on tomorrow. You can be here today and gone tomorrow. Today. And that's Hebrews 9:24-27. It was appointed unto man once to die, but after this come the judgment. See, we all have an appointment with death. And this is one appointment you cannot cancel. You cannot call on the phone and say, I want to cancel my appointment the next Thursday. When you get ready to leave here, when it's your time to leave here, you're going to leave here. It's just that simple. One man won an election a couple weeks ago. And next morning, he passed away. An anchor man by the name of John Chancellor was diagnosed with cancer. And he told his TV audience what he had. And he said something that was very profound. It stayed indelible in my mind. He said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. See, you may have plans, but God has other plans. And then too, my brothers and sisters, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when he's coming back. Mark 13 and 32. No man know the day nor the hour the Son of Man coming. The angels don't know. Jesus doesn't know. He's coming back. And all these things that's happening now, the Bible is fulfilling itself. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8 talks about wars and rumors of wars. Talks about pestilence. Talks about diseases. It's happening now, my brothers and sisters. We don't know when he's coming back. In 2 Timothy 3:1 says, in the last days, perilous times will come. And it's happening right now. 2 Peter 3:10 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And I have said this many times. A thief will not call you on your phone and say, look, I saw you bought a 50-inch TV. I'll be in there to get it tonight. Don't come down, my brothers and sisters. You are doing a great job. Don't come down. You're doing a great job. You can't come down now, because if you come down now, then, brothers and sisters, you are making a mistake toward eternally. Eternity. We're going to spend eternity somewhere that's in heaven or hell. Please, you cannot come down. Nehemiah told Sanballat, I cannot come down. Why should I come down? I'm doing a great work. Why should I come down to you? I'm doing a great work. Nehemiah was not building us a temple. He was not building a great city. He was building a wall. But yet he valued that work as a good work. And all of you brothers and sisters who are doing a great, who are working for the Lord, you're doing a great work. Your ministry that you have, whatever you, your talent is, you're doing a great work for the Lord. And Nehemiah 4:6 said, the people had a mind to work. You see, we got a lot of brothers and sisters in here who got a mind to work for the Lord. You got that mind. Sometimes Brother Fox and I want a brother and sister to do some project. As soon as we let them know, man, they right at it, they want to do it. Sometimes we got to say, let us get it together. Especially the crusade. People are still talking about the crusade. How Christians came from all over the world to have a crusade for Christ. They had a mind to do it. They loved it to do it. God is not going to forget what you have done for him. And Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love that you've done to the saints, you ministered to the saints. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. For in mercy you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And speaking of labor, Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray to the harvest. Pray to the harvest that he will send laborers in the vineyard. And then to think about when you die in Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead that are in Christ, and they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow. So my brothers and sisters, Mike, is this thing. Mike, how y'all are there? All right. My advice to all of you today, don't come down. You're doing a great work. Now, some of your work may be harder. Some may be easy. There's some hard work. Being a preacher is not easy. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, I want you to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. I want you to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, after their own flesh, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn their ears from the truth. See, brothers and sisters, we got to preach to you. We got to preach it whether you like it or not. We got to preach it whether you like us or not. We got to preach to those who don't come when the priest is not here. We got to preach. We got to preach to thousands. We got to preach to two. We got to preach. And James 3:1, if we don't preach the truth, God's going to get us. We got to preach the truth. God only give us 66 books to work with. And if you preach or teach for 60 years, that's all you have is 66 books. But the Holy Spirit give us the wisdom to kind of rotate the sermons and rotate the lessons so we won't say the same thing. You see, being a preacher is not easy. Being an elder is not easy. 1 Timothy 3:1 said, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. It's a good work, but it's not an easy work. Oh, Brother Fox and I heard about how y'all, how we've been talked about, people talk about us, say some things, I mean, you know. We heard about it. But brothers and sisters, let me explain something to you. I want you to notice. I want everybody to look at this. For Nehemiah chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse 5. Now, remember now that the devil always uses another strategy if the first one doesn't work. He uses another one. So Nehemiah, Sanballat has sent four messages to Nehemiah. Nehemiah said no. Now watch number 5. For then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. He sent an open letter. Normally the letter would be sealed for privacy purposes. But this is an open letter for everybody to read. Now in that letter you're going to see Sanballat telling 3 lies on Nehemiah. 3 lies. Look what is number 6. And it was written. It was reported among the nation and gets him. Now remember this. Someone come up to you and talk about, you know, hey, they said this about you. The whole church is talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. Don't pay any attention because 9 times out of 10, it's only you and 2 or 3 other people saying it. Look what it says. And reported among the nation saying that you and the Jews plan to rebel. That's a lie. He told the first lie. You just building this wall so you can rebel. That's what he's saying. That's the first lie. The second lie, therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may become king. You just building this wall. You just want to be a king. You want to be over everybody. We elders, we hear that too. You want to be the top elder. You want to be the king. That's the second lie. Look at the third lie. And he said, And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now he gives Nehemiah a condition. Watch what he said. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, come and talk to us. Look what he says. If you come in, we're going to tell the king about it. And the king does not like rebellious. And he said, if you don't come and talk to us, say, we're going to report this to the king. Now, not watch what Nehemiah said. Then I sent to him saying, no such thing as you said are being done, but you invent them in your own mind. Why, they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. In other words, you know, we have seen many people say, look, man, I'm not going to be putting up with this. This is too much for me. I'm giving it up. But Nehemiah didn't do that. Nehemiah said, you are making this up. You are a liar. You are lying. You are making this up. You see, my brothers and sisters, lies and rumors are common ways to disrupt the work of the Lord. This is not the first time it happened. It's happening all through the Bible. Joseph was accused of seducing Potiphar's wife. Jeremiah was accused of treason for prophesying against Jerusalem. David was slandered by Saul because Saul was jealous of him. Jesus Christ was accused of blaspheming. And look at the early church, the early leaders like Stephen and Paul. And if you read your church history, you will see during the Roman Empire, the Christians were accused of incest because they referred to each other as brothers and sisters. Christians were accused of cannibalism because he took the Lord's Supper. The bread represents the body and the juice represents the blood. You see, it's not easy being a leader. One man said, being a leader, you spend your own time either on the top or on the bottom. You don't know what it's like to be in between. Either you are a hero or you're a villain. Either you are respected or you are virtually hated. One of the hardest parts of being a leader is not when people oppose you. It's when people misunderstand you. Sometimes they misunderstand you. Sometimes they can just malign and misrepresent you. Now, here's the hardest part. You can't always control your reputation, but you can control your integrity. So what you do is focus on your integrity and let God handle your reputation. Another thing I would like for you to look at, I would like for you to look at number 10. Satan didn't win that round. So Satan tried something else. Look at verse 10. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemir, the son of Deliah, and the son of Mithectabel, who was a secret informer, and said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come and kill you. Now let's back up to this secret informer. Be careful how you listen to these secret informers. Come to you and say, look, they said this. They don't like you. Why don't you just go to another place? They don't like you. Who is they? Next time someone come up to you with that mess, you just ask them, well, what do you think about it? Someone come up to you, they said this about you. Well, what do you say about it? Why are they bringing this to you? Who are you? And 9 times out of 10, the people who will bring you that mess, you don't ever see them in Sunday school or morning worship or Bible class. You can't get them to work in the church or anything, but yet they want to make these assumptions. You see, I'm going to ask you a question. I consider a lot of you all a good Bible student. You know your Bible. You know what God said, and you know what God didn't say. If God said, Brian was talking about that this morning. If God said, forgive one another, if you don't forgive one another, you won't be forgiven by God. If the Bible said, don't hold grudges, if the Bible said, love one another, help one another, comfort one another, but you're doing just the opposite, I would never forgive you. You holding grudges. I hate your guts. Or someone say something to you, you're ready to cuss them out. Is that of God? That's not of God, my brothers and sisters. You see, Nehemiah knew what God had done for him. Nehemiah knew that. When they told Nehemiah that the wall had not been rebuilt, Nehemiah cried. Nehemiah fasted. Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah confessed and repented for his sin and the sin of his fellow men. The king gave Nehemiah a leave of absence. The king gave Nehemiah some letters for passage through certain cities as he goes through to give to the governor. The king gave Nehemiah some money to help buy the lumber. Nehemiah found some men to help them with a mind to work. He did all of that. You think Nehemiah going to come down? He going to let all that go and listen to these fools here trying to get him to sin? Now, first of all, Nehemiah is not a priest. See, only a priest have limited entrance in the temple. Nehemiah is not a priest. You don't go in the temple, but you're not a priest. They try to get Nehemiah to sin. Let's go in the house of the Lord, and we're going to cut off all the lights, and then I'm going to protect you because they try to kill you. Nehemiah, look what Nehemiah said. And said, sure, such a man as I flee, and who is there such as I would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. Nehemiah knew the scripture. And then he said, then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced these prophecies against me. Guess who behind it? Tobias and Sanballat. It's two guys. You see, this is how splits happen in the church. Yes. This is the rest of how splits. Because you get with some unlearned people. Some of them don't even know Adam from Moses. Don't know the Old Testament from the New Testament. They get together, hook up with some more unlearned people, cause a whole lot of mess in the church, and there you know, the church is split. That's what caused it. These two guys, they hired him and try to get him to sin. And you can see down here that Nehemiah didn't pay any attention. They finished that wall in 52 days. In verse 16, you see that they, a whole nation knew that was Nehemiah was of God. Now, my brothers and sisters, Jerusalem sits on a hill. Excuse me. Jerusalem sits on a hill. Isaiah 2:2. What Sanballat wanted Nehemiah to do is come down. Let's go into a village of Ono. Ono is 30 miles north of Jerusalem. He wanted Nehemiah to come down and go 30 miles in the plain. I looked up the word come down. In Hebrew, it means, one of the words means to sink down. You think I'm going to sink down to come down and talk to you? I'm doing a great work. You think I'm going to sink down when God had elevated me to be where I am? Deliver me from all the things I used to do, all the debauchery that I used to do. Lord mercy, I know I did a lot. He delivered me from there. And God had delivered all of you from something. You're going to sink down and go back. One thing about the devil will always get you at the place that what he once had you the best. If he had you committing adultery, fornicating, cussing folks out, he wants you back there, that same spot. I cannot sink low. I tell people all the time, God had delivered me from the cotton field to Farmington Hills. And you think I'm going to sink down and go back to the cotton field? When I stopped smoking, what would it profit me when I used to smoke two and a half packs of cigarette? And cigarette was 43 cents a pack. A lady told me in the doctor's office they're $11. What would I look sinking low and going back to cigarette smoking, buying two packs of cigarette for $22? My wife would have a fit. Don't come down, baby. You see, don't come down. You're doing a good work. My brothers and sisters, come down. Use your talent. You read your Bible often. Hang with someone who know the word, who are spiritual minded. I'm gonna try to do that second one. I know y'all looking at me crazy, you know, toward 12 o'clock. The second one is the reason why we should not come down, because Jesus Christ did not come down. Hebrews 10:7 said, I come through the volume of the books. Jesus is in every book in the Bible. Jesus is in the book. John 5:38-39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are talking about me. John 6:38, I came down out of heaven, not to do my will, but to do my Father's will. Jesus Christ was 100% man, and he was 100% God. And Colossians 2:9, bright rain this out so beautifully. When him he dwelleth in all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Just think about it, my brothers and sisters. Now, in Luke 2:42, Jesus was told Mary, I must be about my Father's business. He was 12 years old. And then he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He was 12 years old. Next time you hear about Jesus, Jesus is 30 years old. There's an 18-year difference Now, we don't know what happened to Jesus during those 18 years. But if I use my sanctified imagination, he was a carpenter. I know Jesus has seen many deaths, many crucifixion. I know he probably said, one of these days, I'm going to have to go that route. So it happened. They arrested Jesus Christ. They beat him. He was in court all night, different courts. They beat him. They hung him on a cross, and people came around mocking him, saying, if you're the Son of God, then you come down off that cross. You save many people, you come down off that cross. But Jesus did not come. The crucifixion started at 9:30, and it ended at 3. That's a 6 hours where Jesus hung on that cross, bled and died. In Matthew 27:45 says that at from 12 to 3, God cut off all the lights. It was total darkness. Nobody knew what Jesus did. They heard him say a few words, and one of the words was, my God, why have thou forsaken me? My God, why have thou forsaken me? Jesus had the whole world sin on his shoulders. All the rapists, all the murderers, everything you could name, he was on his shoulder. God could not look at it. He turned away from it. Jesus died. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. If Jesus had come down off that cross, you and I would not be saved today. Amen. Acts 4:12, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than Jesus Christ. We would not be baptized into his name. Our sins would not have been forgiven. You see. But everything that the prophet said about him would have been false. But Jesus looked beyond that cross and saw generation and generation of lost souls who need to be saved. And Luke 19:10 said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and accepted that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. For I am chief. Before Jesus died, he called the disciples in Matthew 16:18. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then in Matthew 28:18-19, after he had risen from the dead, he called his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached that first sermon. 3,000 souls were saved. Acts 4:4, 5,000 more, 5,000 men. Acts 5:14, many they had turned into multitudes. Many believers were more added to the Lord, multitude of men and women. In Acts 8:4, we see where Saul scattered the church. And those that scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Every Christian was like a seed planting new congregations. In Colossians 1:23, the gospel which you have heard was preached to every creature under heaven where I, Paul, a minister. In that one generation, the whole world heard the gospel, and they did it without TikTok. They did it without Facebook. And what that other one? There you go. That one too. Don't give up, my brothers and sisters. You can't come down now. You can't come down. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. You can't come down now. Jesus didn't come down. Nehemiah didn't come down. You're doing a good job. You're doing a great work. Don't make a mistake. So many brothers and sisters have left the church and had not returned. Some of them had died out there in the church. Sometimes we go try to go get them back, but they don't want to. So if you're here today and have not been added to the body of Christ, I strongly urge that you do so today. By hearing, believing, confessing, repenting, and baptism shall put you into Christ. If you need to come forward, do so right now as we stand and sing. Will you please come?